Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a conversation about the mundane. One thing we try to deliver is a podcast episode that is less than fascinating so that you, the listener, can drift off. Thank you for joining us. My name is Marco Timpano, and I hope you listen and sleep. Joining me today, and I'm quite excited about this, and I'm going to try not to be too enthusiastic so that our listeners can just sort of listen and chill, is a good friend of mine, Nima Karazi. Welcome to the Insomnia Project.
Thank you very much, Marco.
I've wanted you on the program for quite some time, and I have the great fortune of being in Salt Lake City, Utah with you.
Yeah, this is really exciting.
It's pretty fun, isn't it?
It's been an experience. You and I have never been to SLC.
No, we haven't.
And it's so fun to explore a city where neither one of us has the upper hand.
Yeah.
And we just are allowing it to kind of reveal itself to us.
Exactly.
It's just been wonderful.
Because you live in Los Angeles.
Correct.
I live in Toronto. And we met in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I have to say, I always heard that Utah was beautiful. And I've heard great things about Salt Lake City. But it so superseded what I expected it to be.
Completely.
I could see myself living here. That's how much I'm enjoying it. And I know we have listeners in Utah. And I just want you to know how beautiful I think this state is. Yeah.
It really helps that also, it snowed and there was this like beautiful blanket of beautiful white snow, and we're in very close proximity to Temple Square and SLC, and the mountains are snow covered, and I mean all of it on top of each other. The elevation is nice because you get crisper, cleaner air.
Sure.
And the people are very friendly. It also does remind me a lot of like Boulder, Colorado,
right,
or like other kinds of cities that I've been to that have these like one main streets that you go down and there's stores and Rocky Mountain chocolate.
Sure. We went to Park City the other day, and that was just tremendous as well. And you know that old Egyptian theater we walked in, cool that was. I love going to old theaters that are still used in some capacity for arts.
It was nice. It was interesting to see because she had told us that it was from the 1930s.
I think it was 26. It happened before the stock market crash.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think it was 26 is when it was built.
1926. And it was interesting because it's a tall, very tall theater.
Yes.
The stage is decent sized, but there's only about 200 seats in the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you would be laughed out of either one of our cities if you built something like that and called it a theater.
Right.
And it's just so impressive to see that they have maintained it and kept it going as well and as long as they have.
All that time. And I read that it survived a lot of things like the stock market crash. At one point, Park City was a ghost town.
Oh, yeah.
And it still survived. And it changed names. Like, I think it was called the Wheeler at one point, and then it got refurbished, I believe, in the 80s, and then restored in the 90s as well. And now it's just a jewel in the crown of theater, cinema, and performance spaces in this state, I would say.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about something that I know is a bit of a passion for you, and maybe some of our listeners might be a little bit weary of this topic because we haven't talked about this before, and in no way am I advising or condoning this hobby of yours, let's say, but I do want to give a little warning. But that said, I want to explore, because you have quite a knowledge in this field, and you like to, on occasion, smoke cigars.
I love smoking cigars.
So while we don't recommend smoking, I do want to talk about things to do with cigar and the whole sort of, it almost seems like there's a ceremonial aspect once one is going to smoke a cigar.
Correct.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you, first of all, what is important to you as far as accoutrements and smoking cigars? What is key for you?
It's interesting that you say, if you had just said what is important in smoking a cigar,
mm-hmm.
my answer is draw. Draw means the effortlessness, or the amount of effort essentially that it takes for you to get the smoke from the lit end into your mouth from the open end that's cut.
Okay.
So I don't like to work very hard for my cigar. It's supposed to be a very relaxing thing for me.
Sure.
Most cigars will take me about an hour to smoke. And so I like a very easy draw. I compare it to a large straw where you get a lot of soda effortlessly.
I see.
Compared to those very, remember those tiny coffee straws?
Sure.
The like little red ones.
They're like stir sticks almost, right? They're not, their intended use is not to be used as a straw, but rather as a stir stick. But if you're a kid,
right,
or you want to just test the liquid you're going to sample, you might use that as a straw, but it's going to bring very little volume of liquid into your mouth. Is that fair to say?
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's also going to take a lot of effort.
Right, of course.
So draw is the most important aspect of a cigar, the stick itself.
The stick, meaning the cigar?
Meaning the cigar, okay. The physical cigar that you're smoking. The accoutrement is a different question, and I'm glad you said
it. Yeah.
So I'm a traditionalist in the fact that I like to use a matchstick if I can.
Oh, really? Over a lighter, you're saying?
Over a butane lighter, yeah.
Okay. Why is that?
Because the butane lighter gives off a bit of a butane vibe to the cigar.
Smell and flavor, would you say?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's your first inhale is more
gassy,
chemical
than tobacco. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Now there are some people that will light a cedar stick and then light their cigar with the cedar stick.
Oh, I see.
So they'll use the butane to light that cedar stick and then they'll use the cedar stick. I like that. I just don't have the patience for it.
Sure.
Nor do I have the time to go looking around to find cedar sticks to light my cigars. So I tend to just sometimes default to the butane lighter. What I don't ever use is a handheld, like a Bic lighter.
Right. So one of those ones that have a little flint roller, whatever you call it, to light the gas.
The little gas station lighters like those. Yeah. I never use those.
And why? So you'd be more likely to use a butane lighter over one of these gas station lighters.
Correct.
Why is that?
Because the butane has a flame, kind of like a torch.
Yes.
And that burns off most of the scent.
Right.
And so then you're not getting anything but tobacco flavor and content when you're smoking.
Okay.
And you're getting a faster, more even burn on the outside of the cigar.
Okay.
Because it's a hotter flame that you can direct because it comes out to a point.
I see.
As opposed to a flickering flame that you have to try to maneuver around.
Oh, I see.
And you have to continuously then rotate your cigar around this butane lighter, which is complicated if your cigar isn't...
a cigarillo or something thin?
Correct.
Okay.
Or if it's not a circle, because some cigars are box pressed, meaning it's almost like a circle, but the top and the bottom are flat.
So would it be more oval in shape?
Almost rectangular.
Almost rectangular. Okay. So I just want, because I'm not a cigar aficionado, I want to take a step back from where our conversation is. What is the purpose of that cigar guillotine? I don't know what it's called, but you know the
cutter.
The cutter. What is the purpose of that? And is it important to have a good cutter? And my third question is, what makes a good cutter?
Very good questions. So the purpose of a cutter is to cut off the end that goes in your mouth so that you can draw in the smoke through the cigar.
Because if I'm not mistaken, the cigar is wrapped with a tobacco leaf, and the end that you put in your mouth is tapered off almost like a torpedo. And would it mean then it's sealed and you wouldn't be able to get the air through the cigar to continue to give oxygen to the tobacco inside? Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. So that is the exact reason.
Okay.
So if you watch these old spaghetti westerns or these old like movies with whoever old timey guys in
like cowboys and stuff,
John Wayne flicks, when he goes to buy a cigar, you know, they bite off the end of the stick and they spit it on the ground and do whatever. There's still some cigar smokers that'll bite off the ends of their cigars.
Okay,
but nowadays you use a cutter. There's different types of cutters and there's different types of cuts.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's a straight cut, which looks like a guillotine. It's a circle that your cigar can go through, and you can cut anything from, an eighth of an inch to as half. You cut your cigar in half, essentially,
right,
with that guillotine. There's another type of cutter that has a flat back, like a wall to it. It's the same guillotine, but instead of a hole all the way through, there's a wall on one end.
So it's like a guillotine, but instead of cutting straight through the cigar, it does what?
The cigar stops at a point. There's like a, it's almost like there's a back to it.
Okay.
So you can't see through it. If you put your finger and nipped it, you would just nick the front like eighth inch of your finger off.
So it's just, it doesn't chomp all the way through, but rather it cuts a portion from the top and the bottom of the cigar, but leaves some of the cigar intact.
No.
Okay.
It's fine. It's better to explain it this way anyway. Okay. So the guillotine is basically a circle that you could see through, that you put your cigar through the circle, and the guillotine cuts off the wherever you have your cigar set in the middle of this.
Okay.
The guillotine with a back, you cannot see through.
I see.
So it is a circle where the cigar sits in, goes in, but it has a stopper. It has a full back stopper.
I see.
So you can only cut to where the back is against this wall.
So it only allows you to cut a
tiny
proportion that the device wants you to cut.
Yes.
Okay. Because your cigar will hit the back end wall
and stop.
And then you'll cut only that half an inch or a quarter of an inch or whatever it is.
So we call that an idiot-proof cutter.
I see.
Because you're going to get the same cut level, and almost every cigar needs just that much. You don't need to cut a whole inch off. Now, the advantage of the full circle guillotine that you can see through is that if you smoked half of your cigar,
yes,
and then you got called into a meeting or something, you could then cut off, because the way a cigar is smoked, the cherry of the cigar, the part of it that's burning, is usually in the front inch of the stick. That even though there's ash further out than that, because that's the finished part, the front end of it is burning and causing smoke.
Where the red hot embers would be.
Right.
Okay.
So if you finished your cigar, you don't ever tamp it out.
Oh,
you
I didn't know
just that. Leave it in the tray.
You never extinguish it like
not
you
like
do
a cigarette. No.
And why is that?
First of all, it's dirty, it's messy.
Right.
Second of all, the cherry is much bigger, so it would take you a long time
to extinguish it.
To put every ember out. And third of all, it's just it doesn't it smells bad and it causes more of a problem because now you're causing the cherry to move up in the cigar and burn new portions of the cigar.
I see.
So, some people will smoke a third of their cigar and then cut their cigar in half past the cherry part and save that to smoke later.
Because it's almost like a brand new cigar.
Correct.
At that point, right? Yeah.
So you can't do that with the idiot-proof cutter.
Right.
That's only with the guillotine cutter.
I see.
I like the idiot-proof because I only smoke one brand of cigar. And that brand of cigar only needs a very tiny sliver cut off the end of it.
I see.
And if you cut more than that, you have a risk of unraveling the outside. And then you've just ruined whole stick.
Oh, wow. So what do you do in a case of, I don't have the time to finish smoking the cigar, but I haven't gone through enough of it to get rid of the cigar,
yeah,
if you have that kind of a cutter?
I don't.
You don't. You just, your intention is always, I will smoke what I will of the cigar, and
yeah,
when I'm done, the cigar is done.
Correct.
Okay.
Like a drink, like anything else, I'm not going to take it home. It's fine where it is. I spent this much money for this experience. The experience is over, and that's it.
Okay, we've talked about the cutter.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the humidor. Which I feel like a lot of people know that word, but they might not know what a humidor's function or purpose is.
Correct. So the humidor's function, first of all, okay, let's start with the basics.
Okay. Thank you for that, by the way.
I'm getting there. Understanding.
I appreciate it, and
yeah,
I'm sure our listeners will appreciate it too, because we're really getting a deep dive into the world of the cigar.
So the humidor is made from usually cedar wood.
Okay.
The reason why is because cedar wood absorbs moisture and then keeps things at a specific humidity due to the moisture that it has absorbed.
I see.
Now, you, depending on the amount of cigar, the number and size of cigars that you have, you can't overload a humidor and expect it to work well because there's not enough moisture in that wood to keep all of those cigars humid.
So what you're saying is you should never overstuff a humidor because it's not going to work at its optimum function.
Correct.
Okay.
So what you have to do is either you have to get a second humidor or you have to get a larger humidor or you have to get rid of some of your cigars, which I've had to do all three.
Wow.
And because a lot of times what will happen is there's a great deal at the cigar lounge you go to and you end up buying a box of 14. And then you go on a trip and you come back and you buy another box of 14 of another cigar. Now you got 28 sticks at home that are drying out that you have to put in a humidor, and you already had 10 or 12 sticks in there, so now you're at 40, and your humidor can only hold 30.
Okay.
So now you have to either move 10 to a second, or you have to get a larger humidor.
Or you'd have to smoke a large quantity of cigars that you have.
Or sell them, or trade them. Or you could do what a lot of us do in a pinch, which is you wet a paper towel and you put the cigars in a Ziploc bag and you keep those in a cupboard somewhere.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that'll do you until, it's like in case of an emergency.
It will last you a couple months, would you say?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It's not ideal, but
it's a hack. Better
it's
than,
a hack that can help you out.
It's better than nothing.
I should say that a humidor, if I'm not mistaken, is a box, right?
Correct.
And like you said, generally made out of cedar wood.
Yeah.
In case people are wondering, I still don't know what a humidor is. So it's the vessel that holds the cigars and keeps them fresh for the smoker.
Yeah, so the humidity in the box that is airtight is shown to you by way of a hydrogeometer.
Sounds right to me, my friend.
Anyway, there's a meter in there that tells you what percentage it's at, and it should be optimally between 70 to 72% humidity.
Oh, I didn't even know the percentage. Okay.
So that's optimal. Depending on your own surroundings, if it's colder climate, warmer climate, you may need more or less humidity.
Would altitude affect it too, since we are...
I never thought of that.
Okay, because we're on a high altitude, you and I. So I'm wondering if people in Utah have to treat their cigars a certain way.
Or Denver, you know, that's even higher. Yeah, that might be a thing. So I've had to move my cigars into a larger humidor. But before I could do that, I had to prep it. And the way you prep it is you empty it out and you take a wet paper towel with distilled water.
Oh, so you're like seasoning your... Yeah. Oh, wow. You're seasoning your humidor. Okay.
So you wipe down all the cedar wood.
Yes.
And you let it stay overnight. The next day, you take a shot glass of water and you put it in your humidor. And you let it stay overnight, and that water will evaporate and absorb into the cedar wood, that which hasn't absorbed enough already. Then you let it stay one more night. So three nights of seasoning, like three 24 hours of seasoning your humidor with nothing in it. And then you have to make sure you have the proper distilled water for the humidor, and then for the extra humidity packs that you're putting in here, and you get it to a 72% level, and then you put your cigars in.
Wow. So it's a 72-hour process before you can even place your product into the vessel that keeps it fresh.
No, it's a 72-hour process before you can even start testing it and putting humidity packs in to get it then to 72%. And that might take 2 days, or it might take a week. With this one, it took me 5 days.
Oh my goodness!
And I was checking it every day. And you don't want to keep opening and closing
because the seal. That's gonna affect the humidity in your humidor.
Correct.
Wow.
So then, finally got it right, and I put my cigars in there, and I've checked on them once and had to refill the water, but they're doing okay now.
Good. Okay, thank you for that that information. Now, how important is the, and I don't know if I'm using the right word, but the tightness of the roll of your cigar? I don't know if those are the right terms.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
How would you describe that?
So the inside of a cigar is called filler. It's the filler tobacco is inside there. And that's just kind of meshed up and squeezed together and pressed. And then it's wrapped with a wrapper. That's what the outside is. So you put the wrapper on. Now, if you have the filler too tight, and then you put the wrapper is always tight around it. But what your question is, you're really trying to ask, what's the importance of the filler being very tight?
Right.
That is what creates a smoother or more difficult draw.
Oh.
And also what constitutes or creates a slow or fast burn. So if you have a pound of tobacco, I mean, I'm using an outrageous number, but if you have a pound of tobacco in one hand and a half pound in the other, and you make the same sized cigar, the half pound isn't wound as tightly as the pound, and so it will draw much faster.
Okay.
The same way as if you took a pound of tobacco and you made it loose, it would make a larger cigar.
Right.
And you made it tight, it would make a smaller cigar. And they might burn at the same rate, but the larger cigar looks like it would burn for longer.
Right.
So I don't like very tight filler, but I also don't like it to be too loose, because then it's just, it's over too quickly.
So you have a certain degree of tightness that you like in your cigars.
Right.
But they would be more leaning towards looser than tighter, because you like to, like as you said at the beginning, draw. An effortless draw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Draw to me is more important than flavor. It's more important than the texture. It's even more important to me than it being handmade.
Okay.
I got lucky in the fact that I found a brand that is handmade and is Nicaraguan, which is my favorite type of tobacco, and it's got a very smooth draw.
Okay. Now, you said flavor. Does the cigar have a sort of flavor profile that one could compare wine to, in that does a cigar have notes of flavor like wine does?
You have to think more like coffee.
Okay.
Because wine is from a fruit.
Right.
And coffee comes from these, although technically I guess coffee's...
It is a fruit, yeah. Fruit, yeah. It's a berry, yeah.
That's a strange thing.
No, but it's fine.
But it's the notes in coffee and cigar are similar in that you will see a hint of... And usually it's a darker thing. Like you can see a chocolatey finish, or you can have a more earthy undertone. Some cigars taste more like dirt. Some cigars taste like mint, but without actually being minty.
Like there's no actual mint in the product.
Not okay. Like a menthol cigar,
right.
Which I don't think exists. But like a mintier cigar type. When I smoke, I used to go in and say, you know, I want a nice cigar with an easy draw, and they would give me these cigars that are really made for like first time smokers.
Right.
They're vanilla flavored. Yeah. They're a little bit smaller. They're very easy to smoke, and they're kind of like fruity and sweet and nice.
Sure.
And people like that. And then they usually go from that into like cognac flavored and rum flavored. And then you get into actual cigars. But that's what they think. Although I don't know a lot of people who've done that. Most of the people I know who smoke flavored cigars stay in flavored cigars.
Right.
I would go opposite. When I walked into a cigar shop, I would say to the owner, I want something that tastes like dirt.
Okay.
I want it to offend me. I want it to be aggressive in order to make sure they weren't going to go in that direction.
I see.
And I got a lot of weird looks from owners saying, like, if that's what you like, I mean, just go lick the ground outside. You don't need to have a cigar for that.
Right.
Until eventually I figured out that that what I like is less earthy and less dark. So there's two types of wrappers. There's a continental wrapper, which is a very light brown, almost gray. And then there is I think it's called... I don't smoke it, so I don't know it. But I think it's called like a... It can't be called Menudo, but it's something like Menudo.
Okay.
And it's... So that's a darker wrapper cigar. And so that's also a stronger flavor. Much like a dark roast and coffee is a stronger flavor, and a light roast is a lighter.
Okay.
So I don't like...
The
darker ones at all. I like a much lighter cigar. And I like so everything about me is just the experience of it more than the actual flavor of a cigar or it trying to pretend to be a different thing.
So for me, the non-cigar smoker, if I was to see someone with a cigar that was dark in color, mm-hmm. I could assume that it's going to have darker, richer, harsher flavors, like a dark roast coffee.
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
So if you're going in to have a cigar as a relaxing kind of vibe, and you just want to chill and talk to your buddy, you should pick one of the lightest cigars in the house. And usually any cigar shop worth its salt will have house blend cigars that are much more affordable.
Okay.
And if you don't care about a brand name, that's your go-to. They're very affordable and very easy to smoke and light and a good draw and clean. And it makes the shop happy that you
are using their local brand.
Correct.
Well, Nima, I want to thank you. This episode went a bit longer than we usually go, but it was so fascinating to explore. And I know we just sort of chomped off the tip of the cigar world, but it was very informative for me. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Marco.
Once again, for our listeners, we don't recommend or condone smoking, but we wanted to delve into a world in a topic that I know that you have a lot of experience in, Nima, so thank you for that. As always, we hope you listen and sleep. And as we've mentioned, this episode was recorded in Salt Lake City, Utah.